stick, but clearly it does not. Okay, so here's your lesson. Ready? So next time when I ask this question, you'll remember maybe. It's a three-year cycle of scriptures. A lot of churches use it. A lot of preachers use it because it helps us encounter the majority of the biblical text over 3 years. Okay, so every Sunday, there's a story from the Old Testament, a story from the New Testament, an epistle, one of the lessons like Paul wrote, and a psalm. And they're offered over these 3 years so that you'll encounter a lot of text. It also keeps preachers from just preaching the same sermon all the time. And it forces us to use some hard texts as well. And so at Crossroads, I kind of drift in and out of the lectionary. The worship planners know this. Sometimes I'm in it. Sometimes we're out of it when we're doing a series. But at Advent, I am often in the lectionary cycle. And I am this year. This means, there's a reason why you just had this little church lesson. This means that the scripture that we heard this morning from Matthew's gospel of Joseph's encounter with the angel prior to Jesus' birth only comes around once every 3 years in the lectionary cycle. And today is the day. It's worth noting because Matthew is the only gospel writer that tells this part of the story. Actually, only Luke and Matthew give us any kind of birth story, true birth story. You know, Mark just jumps right in with Jesus' baptism. And John begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Luke and Matthew offer us this more full picture of Mary's pregnancy and Jesus' birth in a manger. And while Luke focuses part of his narrative more upon Mary, including what we heard last week when she visited Elizabeth and she sang her song, Matthew turns his attention to Joseph. He's the only gospel writer that does so. And so once, every 3 years, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, the lectionary cycle and preachers who follow it turn their attention to Joseph. So earlier this week, I looked back at my Advent sermons from 2013 and 2016, the last time this scripture would have come up, just to see what I said about Joseph, try not to repeat myself, you know, or maybe find a good story that's worth using again, you never know. Well, what I found was that I didn't say much of anything, because in both of those years, we had bad snows that canceled Sunday church. So being that I am a late-in-the-week writer, and being that it was Advent season, which meant I was probably writing on Saturday, I didn't even finish my sermons because we called off church that far in advance. So I had two very incomplete files. So I kind of feel bad for Joseph. I mean, we already think of him as a minor character. We know so little about him. And he only gets one Sunday every 3 years to tell his story in the lectionary cycle. And both chances I've had to give him his 15 minutes of fame, he's been snowed in. I got a little worried this morning he might get fogged in. But not today, because whether the result of global warming or just the oddity of Missouri weather, a week after we had snow, we're supposed to be in the 50s. So good old Joseph is going to get his story told finally today. I think Joseph just wanted a simple life. They said he was a righteous man. He observed religious law. He was faithful to God. He made his livelihood as a carpenter. And now he was betrothed, engaged to be married, and he was ready to start a family. And life was coming together just as one might hope. But then Joseph's world got upended because Mary was pregnant and it wasn't his child. And she had this wild story of how it was the Spirit of God that blessed her with a baby. Can you imagine how that conversation went? You can't really blame the guy for not believing her right away. because that's a lot to take in. Things had gotten quite messy for this guy who thought that his life was laid out accordingly. Things had gotten quite messy for Mary as well. Neither one of them could have ever expected things to turn out this way. Joseph had a choice before him. Mary, as we know from Luke's gospel, also had a choice. And she said yes to God's call upon her life. Joseph had a choice to make as well, and there were a couple of ways that he could go. He could stay with Mary and adopt the baby as his own, or he could dismiss her. But even in dismissing her, he had a choice. Per law, Mary's punishment for being pregnant outside of wedlock would have been a stoning. If Joseph had shamed her, dismissing her publicly, it would have likely meant her death. But there was another option: to dismiss her quietly. By showing such mercy, there might have been a chance for Mary, and maybe for the baby. And while Joseph was faithful and observant of God's law, we can see that he was also compassionate, that he understood the call to be merciful. Joseph was caught in the tension that people of faith continue to encounter today. The tension between following the letter of the law and the commandment to love our neighbors. The two do not always appear synonymous. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves if we are reading the scriptures and the law to define what love is, or if we are interpreting the scriptures through a lens of love. Joseph, faced with this sudden, scandalous mess in front of him, had a decision to make. So he chose what felt like mercy, like compassion, to dismiss her quietly. He chose to dismiss himself from the mess, but to also give Mary and the baby a chance at life. That was his decision until the angel showed up in his dreams. Now, the biblical narrative is rich with stories of God's will and wisdom being imparted through dreams. And this story is no different. The angel confirms for Joseph what Mary has told him, that this child is from the Holy Spirit, that this child is the one for whom the people have waited and of whom Isaiah has prophesied, that this child is Emmanuel, God with us. And God needs Joseph. God desires for Joseph to claim him, to name him, and to be his father. Joseph plays an important role in more ways than one. Just before the birth narrative, Matthew outlines Jesus' genealogy, and interestingly, he traces the line through Joseph, not through Mary. It was always said that the Messiah would be of the line of David. And he is. But Jesus' royal lineage is not traced through his mother. Joseph is the parent in David's line. And so Jesus actually receives his royal heritage through the father who adopted him. Jesus' lineage is full of interesting characters. It may begin with the admirable and faithful Abraham, but Judah and David and Solomon and Rahab and Tamar and several others are in that line. And with this diverse cast comes an abundance of very messy stories. Debbie Thomas writes, "How interesting that God, who could have seemingly chosen any genealogy for Jesus, chose a long line of brokenness, imperfection, dishonor, and scandal." God doesn't only invite Joseph and his line of questionable ancestors into the Messiah's life, God invites Joseph to claim Jesus to adopt him into this family line and to be his father. Joseph's yes to God's request in the dream may have saved Mary and Jesus' life, for who knows what would have happened to them if Joseph had dismissed them. An unwed, pregnant woman in that time had little hope for her future, and Mary knew that as well. And yet she still said yes, with a bold trust in God to guide and protect her through this mess that God had created of her life. And Joseph, too, said yes. Caught between heart and mind, he was willing to dismiss her quietly. But when God spoke directly to Joseph's heart, he knew what he must do. He knew what he must do so that God's love could enter the world in flesh and bone. Joseph and Mary both stepped into a messy story, ripe with scandal and filled with mystery and the unexplainable. So rumor has it that the other week in the preschool Sunday school room, as the story of Jesus was being told, Asher, our twin who is almost three, snagged the wooden figure of Joseph and was flying him around the room like Superman. You know, he's at an age when superheroes are really exciting. I know some of you are still at that age. You didn't have to raise your hand. There are some others, though, I know as well. We think of superheroes as being heroic and brave, as being willing to take on the impossible, as being without fear. They are courageous. While Joseph and Mary didn't fly around with a cape or put an end to crime, they were courageous too. The Latin root of the word courage means to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. Brené Brown writes, "Heroics is often about putting our life on the line. Ordinary courage is about putting our vulnerability on the line." What Mary and Joseph did was courageous. It was heroic, you could say. They put their hearts on the line. They made themselves vulnerable in so many ways. They stepped into a really messy story with their full hearts. While we tell the story of Jesus' birth every Christmas with all its mystery and awe, it comes complete with a scandalous pregnancy and a messy lineage and wild dreams and appearances from angels and a dirty stable with smelly animals, a complicated cultural system, and a politically charged atmosphere. It was risky to say yes. Some might say it was crazy. But Joseph and Mary both saw that the world could not wait for God's love, and that it would take their courage to help make it come. Every year I go into Advent and Christmas and want things to go perfectly. I don't know why I still think that. I have three children. But I think every year that things might just go smoothly. I got three children and I have you all. I should know better than that, really. But every year I think that. And truth be told, I'd like all of life to be like that. I mean, I think most of us probably would, right? We'd rather our car not break down in rush hour traffic. Thank you for the reminder. I need to get gas on the way home, by the way. I really thought that as you said that. Like, that's my miracle reminder. But we've all learned that life is rarely that way. It might be for a moment or two, but things often get messy. A child is sick. A job is lost. A family member is in crisis. A friend needs our help. A stranger appears unexpectedly in our path, disrupting the flow of our lives. Life can be messy and complicated year-round. And at the holidays, when expectations are raised and emotions are high and schedules are even busier, that mess can just seem like a whole lot more. And sometimes, like Joseph, we might want to dismiss it quietly or to just dismiss ourselves from it. But sometimes God is inviting us to live courageously in the mess, to not be so afraid when unexpected things cross our path, even if saying yes might mean risking our reputations or placing us standing alongside the scandalous and shamed. Even when saying yes means choosing love over the letter of the law. God is inviting us to listen to our hearts and not just our heads when the seemingly impossible is before us. To say yes, even when doing so asks us to step out in complete faith. God is inviting us to live wholeheartedly and courageously in this messy world so that love may continue to overcome fear and sorrow. So when you find yourself caught by the messiness of life, wondering if you should wade in or dismiss it, remember that God was born in the midst of a mess. I don't think God would have had it any other way, because love couldn't wait for us to get it right and perfect and smooth. Creation cannot wait. So step out courageously into the mess. Step out and do not be afraid. Amen.